Hello and welcome back to Direct Line's Good Palmer Codcast.
That's good.
Should we leave that in? Let's leave that in.
Palmer Codcast. I like cod, a bit of Palmer ham on a cod.
Yes. Shall I do that again?
Yeah, okay.
Hello and welcome back to Direct Line's Good Karma Podcast. I'm Dr. Gary Wood, social psychologist and head of Karma. And with me again is co-host, comedian, writer, podcast and blogger, Richard Herring.
Hello. Who made you the head of Karma? I want to know you've.
God.
I'm just not sure this is a genuine. You know, it doesn't sound like a real thing. And I'm sitting in a little booth with you,
really?
And I'm worried that you're just a fantasist who thinks you're the head of something. You can't be the head of. It's not even the head of Karma. It's the head of Karma.
It's not even spelt right.
It's not spelt right.
No.
I've got driven here. I don't know where I am. Nice to be here, though.
It's very good to have
Thank you
back. So today we're going to be looking. Last time we were looking at just generally talking about Karma on the road,
yeah.
Karma with a C. And how we can be a bit more kind and courteous and horrible things that have happened
yeah.
to us. Today we're going to kind of look about what's the knock-on effects in the home.
Okay.
So we've had preparing ourselves for a horrendous commute. So, where do we start?
Well, I suppose, you know, but I think it's interesting. I suppose I don't commute, really. My driving is usually in the evening and the night time. So I don't have to prepare for that very often, but having a family, I suppose, is now changes the whole dynamic of getting ready for something. We went on holiday last week, and you've got I've got two kids, I've got a 3-year-old and an 8-month-old,
right?
And so getting that all ready to go out is a very stressful experience for us.
I can imagine.
So I think that aspect of driving is. Yeah, it's something I can relate to. I think me and my wife is very fastidiously wanting to do everything in the right order. And, you know, if you're loading a car to go on holiday, I'm just going, well, you know, it's a car. If you're driving, if you're going in the plane, you have to be a little bit organised. But if you're just driving, chuck everything in the back of the car, it'll be fine. My wife's got lists.
Oh.
She has to do everything in the right order. If I start trying to do something, she'll then get cross with me for breaking out of the kind of rigorous plan she has.
Does she have a clipboard as well?
She doesn't have. She does it all on her phone. But there is a.
There is a clipboard element.
There is. So it's that element where I feel like, come on, let's go with the flow. Let's speed this up a little bit, because I think when you're going on a long drive, you're thinking it's going to take a long time. We drove to Devon last week. It's a 5-hour drive probably. And then the kids in, and it's going to mean we're going to have to stop a few times. So you're just thinking, we've got to get going. And she's very much, no, we've got to make sure we've got everything. If we forget our pants, we can buy something. They still
have
shops in Devon.
Are we there yet? No, we're not off the drive.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
So I think that aspect can, and then, that's, for me, that's the stress of it being organised then does kind of push on into the driving sometimes.
Who does the driving?
Well, with this last holiday, we split it because I think it's... I'm not a very good passenger, so I generally do the driving. But and I don't know why. I've got this idea that my wife, to me, feels more reckless on the road than I am. But I've hit things and she's never... all the accidents I've had have been at 2 miles an hour. So they're not bad. They're like reversing out of places or getting into parking spaces or, you know, just very, very slow knocks I've had. But my wife, I don't think, has really ever... I'm always scraping the passenger rear side of my car. That's my blind spot. My wife has never really done anything wrong. So I've got this idea that I'm the better driver. But she's... The statistics would suggest she's the better one.
She's the better one. Well, if you're scraping the passenger side and she's in it, she's obviously not very happy about
it. It's the rear one, so it would only be one of the kids that was was upset, so that's fine. So on this last journey, we split it, and I did the first half, and then I was quite tired. It's that tiredness factor, I think, for me and my work, because I'm working at night and I'm gigging, and you get adrenaline, and then that pushes you on.
Yeah, yeah.
But if it's a 3-hour drive, that last hour drive can sometimes be a bit... be a bit hard work if you're too tired. So it's good to be able to split stuff. And, you know, we do it. I think it sort of works with me and my wife. We just have very different approaches to how we go along with it. So if I'm, you know, I can often get into the car and feeling this heightened stress. You're a psychologist. Can you help me out with that? Well, because we've got to the point where once you've got kids, you just start, you know, it's very difficult not to bicker with your partner, I think, because you're tired. So that's not a good thing. And you've got this, you've basically taken on a 24/7, 365 days a year job of raising human beings from scratch.
It's true, yeah.
For no money. You have to pay to do it. And then, you know, when it's
thankless.
When the job's finished 20 years later, the kid's going to turn around and tell you to get lost because you're an idiot. And that's the nicest way I can put that. So, yeah, so it's a kind of weird job you've put yourself in. Where, you know, you start off as a little romantic unit and you like hanging out with each other and going to the theatre and stuff. And then suddenly you've got two kids to look after. I'm just airing my problems now. Go, help me.
Well, I said,
and, you know, I don't care about the driving aspect. Well, just help out my marriage.
Somebody said to me,
5 minutes in the middle of this,
how do you gird your loins for something stressful? And yeah. I said, have you tried breathing exercises? And okay. They said, I haven't got time to breathe. So, yeah, it's anything that you can do kind of to gird your loins a little bit. I mean, if you could go off and just do a little bit of breathing and sort of focus on
shouting,
something positive.
Shouting in the toilet on your... In the
a good, into a pillow, a good shout. Yeah. Anything that can get...
Why did I get married? Why did I have kids? Why? That kind of thing.
Yeah, it's probably... Well, how many hours drive?
But, I think that those things are stressful. But then it's great to have... I've driven around alone a lot in my life, so it's nice to have other people in the car, and it's fun. Usually the kids are quite good. Our kids are pretty good so far in terms of the drive. But those sort of stresses of, you know, work toilet trips. I suppose like with the when they're little, the babies, I drove my daughter to, this was when she was about two. I drove her to a little gym where she go every week, and it's quite a stressful thing getting her in the car and getting there. I'd take her every week, and it's half an hour's drive away. And we drove there, and like we were 2 minutes from the place, and then she just threw up all over herself.
Lovely.
And then you've got to go, oh, okay. So, you know, I've got no change of clothes because this hasn't happened for a while. And we're nearly there. Shall we go? I think we ended up going in the end. I managed to sort it out, and they lent us a T-shirt, and she was fine. Is that when you're a kid, that kind of, you throw up, and it's just that, okay.
Yeah, it's just a bit of fun, isn't it?
And she got on with the day. So those sort of, it's all those additional stresses of, as well as the driving, which is, you know, is tough. And when you're driving with kids in the back, you're always just thinking of the bad things that could happen and how much responsibility you've got to keep them all safe and how much at the will of other people's terrible driving you are. So those things become stressful as well, I suppose.
So when you were going down there, so imagine somebody cut you up.
Yeah.
I don't know whether anybody did on the way. compared with your wife, what would you most likely do if somebody cuts you up or was horrible to you anyway? What's your response
I
going to be?
I am quite, I'm sort of slightly zen. Even when I've been annoyed by other things, on the road, I will, as long as it's been safe and nothing bad has happened, I'll be annoyed, but I won't be that annoyed. Whereas my wife is very vociferous about it. So that's the weird thing. So even though she's organised, she'll be annoyed by people doing things wrong or, you know, harassing her from, you know, if someone's driving too fast behind. Now you're on country road. Now I'm on country roads driving a lot. That's, you know, you get this weird thing where you set the pace. If someone's behind you and wants to pass you, then that's quite intimidating. So my wife gets very intimidated by that. And you have to go, well, look, you're driving at the speed limit and there isn't anywhere to overtake. So they've got to suck it up. But she's always worrying about everything. You know, as a parent, you are worrying about everything, and it's perfectly reasonable for her to do that. But she's always looking at, you know, with sat navs and things like that, my wife's always going, was this turning coming up? Should I get into the first lane? I go, yeah, but you know, you've got a mile to do it. She'll be very like, oh my God, there's a turning coming up, and what do we do after the? Why doesn't the sat nav tell us which exit of the roundabout is going
to
be?
Is this why you don't like to be a passenger?
It is, yeah. But I'm a terrible passenger. I think that's my fault. I think, you know, so that's why it doesn't work. So I do tend to do most of the driving just for my own.
Are you a calming influence in the world?
No. I make her worse because I'll be worried about driving too close to the hedges or, you know, which I think just because you're on the other side of the car, you suddenly, oh, we're close to the side. So I think it's entirely my own neuroses that are causing me to be like this with her. So, you know, you've got all those things to cope with, and you have to, of course, keep your marriage together as well. So
it's
difficult.
If you're going on holiday and you're divorced at the end
you
of
can't,
it.
You can't, you know, you've got to... You'd be awful to have a bad holiday when you realise you're not compatible. So I think it does work. We do work quite well as a team, but I think those stressful moments of preparing to go somewhere or being on the way somewhere and working out who's going to do whatever. It's. I think, again, it's understanding what your own skills are and working as a team is the way to make anything work, really, isn't it? So
yeah, totally. Yeah. In the research that we did, there was a definite gender difference in terms of passing on karma.
Okay.
So men are more, if men are cut up, something happens, men are more likely to get even.
Yeah.
Whereas women are more likely to actually say, oh, let's just break the chain.
Okay.
And
I think that's probably the reverse in my
relationship.
I think it probably is. I'm much more forgiving of nearly everything. And I think it takes, you know, I've got a breaking point, but it takes quite a long time to get to that breaking point. And I'm quite calm. And, because I think there's no, you've got to work out what's worth getting annoyed about. And I think that's the thing. And if you get annoyed by someone cutting you up and you decide to somehow take revenge by cutting them up, or, you know, you feel you have to get one up on them, then you're just creating a spiraling system where everything's
going
It's going to hurt you not more than them. So you think, they cut me up. Well done, mate. Off you go on your way in your tragic life. You know, you sometimes see a car pass you in a ridiculous way and you think, you know, that you're going to get into trouble if you carry on driving like that. So that's the, if there is a karma, I don't want anything bad to happen.
So you're better at letting things go.
I think I am than my wife, yeah. But I mean, she does let things go as well. But she's angrier about infractions in that way than I am. But yeah, that's interesting. I mean, I think there's definitely, and I'm sure a lot of that is due to society and influence of society and expectations of masculinity and femininity. So people are as much influenced by how they feel they should be. So
yeah, definitely.
So I think for a man to be, if a man gets one up on another man, I've been watching the football this week, and if one of the footballers manages to get the other one into trouble, they'll give him a little look, and then that's riling that guy. And I play poker, and it's the same thing. If you play poker and someone beats you or bluffs you or just, and they're being cocky about it, you want to get them back, but that actually makes you a worse poker player. I think if you allow them to
give so much away, doesn't it?
Well, if you're allowed someone to rile you, then you're going to make mistakes. So I think that's a pretty good analogy actually in terms of that, because you've got to stay calm and you're in control still, and whatever's just happened, you are still in control of the car, so you still have if you allow it to get you, you're going to make mistakes, you're going to do something silly yourself. And so in poker, the same thing. If someone, you have this thing where people I've forgotten the term for it now, but if people lose a hand that they should have won, they'll then go in big on the next one regardless of whether they've got a good hand or not. So they've kind of overloaded, and then they lose the next hand and they lose more money. So you've got to, that's why I don't think I'm not patient enough as a poker player to be able to play a long tournament, because I do allow someone if someone's beating me and I want to get back at them and beat them, and you've got to let that go. And I suppose that is the karma of that situation.
So who'd have thought it cut poker and motoring the same kind of thing?
And there's a lot in, and men think they're better at it than women, and they're not. And it's about just being calm and logical. And I think that's the thing with the car. You just forget. I think when you're driving sometimes that this is a, that it's even real sometimes. It feels, you're so used to driving that you don't think of the implications of what you're doing. And it's really important just to keep in control of yourself when you're driving a car, because it's a dangerous weapon. It's more dangerous than a knife.
One of the in the survey, one of the things which I found was a bit odd is that people said that one of the things they do to pass on good karma in the road is to smile.
Oh, really? Yes.
And I've tried doing that on the tube.
Yeah.
And it really freaks people out.
Yeah, well, I think that in Great Britain, in the United Kingdom.
Smile behind the wheel?
I mean, in the countryside now, I do a little. If someone's nice to me, and you see the person, you wave. I'm very big on the acknowledgement of a good deed. And I'm annoyed if I let someone through and they don't even indicate that they're happy about it. So if I wait for someone and they just drive past and don't even look at you, I don't want them to smile and beam at me like they've just found religion.
Just a crafty wink or something.
Just like a thumbs up.
Doff the cap.
Just a little wave is all you need. I mean, I wave at people if they've been nice to me and I've been nice to them. It's kind of, I like that politeness. I think it can go too far. Don't have to buy them flowers or take them out for dinner. Or smile. I don't think you necessarily have to smile.
No, smile.
But I think that's, that politeness, I think if you've done a good deed, you want to feel like it's been acknowledged. And so I think that's almost, now we've come up to this, that's probably my biggest bugbear of driving. That's when I get angry.
Rude people.
Well, it's when you've done some, if I've waited 2 minutes for someone to drive past and then they don't even look at you and acknowledge that you've done a nice thing, then that makes me angrier than I think anything else on the road. Because you just think, oh, it's so little to just go, cheers, or well done, or thanks. So, I think the idea of acknowledging other people's existence and acknowledging other people's kindness, or, you know, and acknowledging your own mistakes. I think that's a big thing. If you make a mistake and then say, look, I'm sorry.
Just
you know,
own up.
Yeah. Rather, and then, so I think those, because everyone's going to make mistakes. Everyone thinks they're a brilliant driver, and statistically, half of them are not above average as drivers. But that's what I find fascinating about driving, is this idea that everyone sees everyone else's mistakes, but never their own. And as a passenger in a car, when I'm on tour, I've noticed that a lot with tour managers. Usually a pretty good driver because they drive for a living, but they will be very unforgiving of the mistakes of other people, but their own mistakes will go, they don't acknowledge that those happened, you know, if they happen to
make that error. Well, I suppose if you're a good driver and you make a mistake, it's kind of in the context of a broader picture, isn't it?
Yeah.
So if they've done so many miles, a mistake here and then is not going to matter, is it? Whereas other people's mistakes...
Yeah, you only see their mistake.
Yeah, it's... Yeah.
But I think that's it. I think if people were a bit more understanding of that, I mean, this would make the world a better place rather than just the driving a better place. If people were aware that they aren't the star of a movie that is just about them, and if they acknowledge that they sometimes do make mistakes, I think the world, you know, life makes it very difficult to acknowledge mistakes. I think, and it's seen as weakness to own up to mistakes, or it's seen as, you know, people are going to laugh at you or whatever. But I think actually, you know, I think as a comedian, that's the thing I notice when I'm on stage and I admit to some foolish thing I've done. It will make people feel better about themselves because they go, oh, God, it isn't just me.
I think there's that sense. Yeah, we've all got that sense.
So we find it very difficult to acknowledge those things. And it's very liberating for you. I think that's the thing. With all these things, the idea of any idea of karma, you can go, oh, it's polite and it's nice and it'll move on. But the actual thing is it makes you feel better about yourself. If you're behaving correctly
and you
do things right, you just have that, you know, the rest of your day is better because you've done the right thing. You haven't got a little bit of guilt or anger, you know, or self-doubt eating away at you. You know, so all these things, so what we're talking about, the other one about, you know, if you damage someone else's car, if you don't own up to that, unless you're a psychopath, that's always going to be eating away. You know, your next door neighbour's car, time I hit his car and he doesn't know. It's always going to be there and always a danger of being discovered, but also just the knowledge that you've, you know, let yourself down. If you do the right thing and if you're pleasant, and then you just feel better about yourself. And then that has that knock on when you get home. As you're saying, you think that your statistics show women are better at this than men slightly, but you won't take it out on other people. And I suppose that's it. If you have these slights, the danger is you don't take it out on someone on the road. You get home and you're then grumpy with your partner or kick your cat. I don't kick my cat, but that would be something you could
need
do.
To clarify.
He deserves to be kicked, but I don't kick him. He's an idiot, my cat. But I let him off and he meows in a very annoying way, but I don't kick him.
So when you're on the road then and someone's been horrible to you, what's your way of kind of just letting it go or neutralising it, or so you don't have to go home and kick anything?
I kick the cat. No, I don't kick the cat. I don't know. I mean, I think it's being philosophical about it. I think getting older helps with these things, because I think you sort of realise that most things aren't worth aren't worth obsessing about that much. So these little things that can sometimes niggle at you or get at you, and, you know, I think you're never impervious to it. I think it's just being philosophical and allowing it to go. And I think the best thing for me is just to, you know, is to let it go on the journey. So you have the unpleasant thing, it riles you, and then you've got to sort of, you know, not exactly meditate, but you've got to kind of get there yourself before you introduce to other people. And if you acknowledge that, like, if you just accept, I'm annoyed about this because of that, then you won't take it out on other people, because you go, right, the problem wasn't me, the problem was this guy or this incident or my, you know. As long as you understand where it's come from, then you can't take it out on other people, can you?
So you're taking the emotion and changing it into
a
thought.
Pressing it down into repressing it into a ball of anger that will explode at some point in my life, but hopefully right near the end. What do you think we should do to neutralise the bad feelings? You're the psychologist. Stop asking me. I'm just making rubbish up. I haven't got any...
Think exactly what you said. What you've done is you've taken...
You can't just come and say exactly what... Ask me what it is and then say, that is the answer.
Yeah,
What
he said. what you said essentially was you took the emotion and then you rationalised it. You gave it a reason. So you converted emotion and you gave it thought.
Yeah.
And often when we react purely by emotion and hurt.
Yeah.
So what you've done is you've done a little process to actually take it into a more logical, because you can't argue with an emotion.
No.
But you can argue with the thought.
And sometimes, you know, sometimes you're really angry, you just need to, you know, if you're driving and angry, you've got to stop the car, get out and
Walk, that's another one. Yeah, yeah.
Because if you're really angry when you're driving, you've got to get out of that car because it's just, it's too dangerous, I think. So, you know, you've got to try and find the safest place to vent that.
Anger, thought.
Yeah.
Dying for the loo, any of those,
if you need the loo, get out and do it. I mean, you know, we're guys, we can just get out and do it anywhere. Well, depending on what...
In the car sometimes, yeah.
Well, my sister gave me a little device you can wee into. I've never used it, because I don't think I could do it sitting down. I think the angle's wrong in the driving seat. But
you'd have to
like a little pot that you can do that in. But that's annoying.
You'd have to lean forward and that would look sinister.
It would. I always drink too much like soft drinks when I'm driving around on my own, and then I'm always in that situation.
I can hear running water now, actually. What's going on?
Why did I leave that? But I've never resorted to using the... I think there should be just like a little hole in the bottom of the car and a pipe that leads down into it. That would be better. That's what they're doing.
That would be
trains,
great.
Essentially, isn't it? They just... like a hole in the seat.
Oh.
Would you buy that car? Yeah,
I'm hugging the second lane because I have to swerve to avoid that. Yeah. Okay, so I think that's definitely all we've got time for on this episode of Direct Line's Good Karma podcast. Whatever platform you're listening on, don't forget to like and subscribe. And I'd like to thank again Richard Herring for being my co-host.
Deputy head of karma, I am.
I've just
decided that's what I am.
Deputy head. Yes, I've been Gary Wood.
By the last one, I'm going to be the head of karma. Apparently,
I'm still head of karma. So go on, carry on.
No, it's fine, I finished.
No, you hadn't.
Say it out. Tell everyone, the whole class, what you were going to say. I'm finished. I think
it's fine. Just like Devon all over again, isn't it? I feel so sorry for that wife.
You should.